إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself anew today about what I call our primary relationship. Now, primary relationship is identified by three things. First of all, a primary relationship is that which we are identified by it. So, for example, if we take two relationships, my country and my employer, then the primary relationship is with the country because I am identified as an Indian first. And then I am identified as the president of Yavar Beg Associates. So the primary relationship is the one that gives me identity, that gives you identity. You are identified by your primary relationship. The second one is that your primary responsibility is to that relationship. So if there is ever a decision point where you have to decide who you owe first responsibility to, then your first responsibility is to the entity with which you have that primary relationship. The entity, in other words, to which you belong. So if somebody says, where are you from? I say, well, I belong to India. So it is that my primary relationship is with my country, and therefore I belong to my country. So that's the second one. Third one is that entity towards which you have a primary responsibility is responsible for you. Which means that if I am anywhere in any other country and if I have a need, then I can go to my Indian High Commission, I can go to the Indian Embassy, and the Indian High Commission and the Indian Embassy, it is their duty to help me in whatever difficulty that I might find myself in that other country, because my primary relationship is with my country. So three things. Primary relationship gives you a sense of identity and belonging, and you are identified by that. Second one is the primary relationship that we have, we have a responsibility towards it. So it gives us a sense of identity. We have a responsibility towards it. And that entity to which we are primarily responsible and which gives us a sense of identity, that entity is responsible for us, for our welfare and so on and so forth. So now, if we see as human beings, with whom do we have primary responsibility? Who are we primarily responsible to? Primarily responsible to as human beings, all human beings. And that is very simple, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this in the Quran very beautifully in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And his Rabb said to him, submit, accept, your primary responsibility is towards Allah. Aslim, enter Islam. Aslim, submit to Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. I submit to the Rabb of the universe, of the worlds. Now, if we look at this, our primary responsibility is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we are the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. He is our creature, He is our sustainer, He is our protector. And therefore, our primary responsibility is towards Allah. And that is why the first responsibility of the individual is to accept this primary responsibility and to be known by it by accepting Islam. So the person who accepts Islam has owned up this primary responsibility by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He has accepted that he will be identified by this primary responsibility. So you say, who are you? He said, I am a Muslim. Who are you? I am the one who has submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am the one who recognizes his Rabb. I am the one who worships his Rabb. So therefore, I am identified as a Muslim. Just as in the other example, I said I'm identified as an Indian. In this example, I'm saying that I'm identified as a Muslim. That is my primary responsibility. As a creature of Allah, as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, obviously that means there are two kinds of slaves, one who accepts it and one who doesn't accept it, but doesn't change his nature. The person who accepts the fact that he is the slave of Allah is also a slave of Allah. And the one who rejects that and the one who rebels against it is still a slave of Allah. He still owes a responsibility towards Allah, but he has chosen not to exercise and not to fulfill that responsibility. And with it come the consequences. Just like a person might be a citizen of a country, I am an Indian. Now if I fulfill my responsibility towards my country, then my country is responsible for me. But if I decide to go against the interest of my country, then I am committing treason, I am culpable, and therefore I will be punished. And the country, instead of being responsible for my welfare, will now actually persecute me, quite rightly, because I am going against the interest of the country. The same logic applies. And we say that our number one responsibility, primary responsibility, is towards the one who created us, towards the one who sustains us, is towards the one to whom we owe everything that we have in this life. And towards the one to whom is our return, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment. So we are identified by that primary responsibility. Who are you? I'm a Muslim. Second one is that we have a responsibility towards the one who gives us this identity, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is that responsibility? That we worship Him alone, and that we do not join anyone in partnership in His worship. So La ilaha illallah, Tawheed, is the number one responsibility that we have. What comes out of that? Because La ilaha illallah doesn't just end with saying worship of Allah. What is the meaning of worship of Allah? The meaning of worship of Allah is complete and total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why I use this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. Aslamtu in what? I submit to Allah. In what? I submit to Allah in everything. He's not saying I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ibadah alone and the rest of my life is according to my own wish. No. Aslamtu, completely, it's a blanket statement, I submit. There is no qualification. The statement is not a qualified statement. He is making a total statement to say, I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. In every single thing that I say, in every single thing that I do, and in every single situation that I find myself in, I submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that will might be. Please understand this. He is not saying I submit, and he's not qualifying it. He's not saying I submit in this situation or that situation. He's also not saying I submit provided the will of Allah agrees with my opinion. He's not saying I submit provided that I like the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I submit selectively in terms of time and space. I submit selectively in terms of whether I like that order or not. I submit selectively in terms of whether that order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appears to me to be reasonable or anything. No, it's a completely a statement of pure submission to say, I submit, period. Whatever the hukum of Allah is, whatever the order of Allah may be, I submit completely and totally without reservation and without qualification and without any objection. Whether I like or I don't like is not the issue, because when I submit completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then by definition every order of Allah I like, because I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So second responsibility is this, that we completely submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And the third part of it is the responsibility on the one to whom we submit, is to take care of the one who submitted to him. And this is the whole issue, and why we are the slaves of Allah and why we are not servants of Allah. Is one of the mistakes in translation of the Quran, where people translate the word abd as servant. Abd is not servant. Abd is slave. And the reason why it's important to understand this is because With it comes the responsibility of what is a slave. A slave is one who the master owns. The slave is one who the master owns. The master can sell him. The master can buy him. The master can do anything he wants. And that is the meaning of slavery. And that is why slavery to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. And we do not encourage and we do not talk about slavery. It is not permissible in Islam for somebody to put himself in a position where he is like a slave to another human being. So therefore, slavery is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a slave submits completely to his master, and the master is completely responsible for the slave. As far as the servant is concerned, if you look at it, the only thing the employer is responsible for is to pay the salary of the servant. Once he's paid the salary of his employee, he is not responsible for what happens in the employee's home, or whether the employee is ill or not ill, or whether the employee is sad or he is happy, or whether the employee's children are going to school or not going to school, how is his wife, how are his parents. All of this is not the problem and not the responsibility of the employer. The employer paid you your salary, you look after yourself. That is who a servant is. A servant is also somebody who can decide to change his employer. He can resign and go away and he said, okay, I don't work for you anymore. I am going to work for somebody else. Where is the question of anyone being a servant of Allah? We are the slaves of Allah. A slave has nowhere to go. The slave is owned by one master. He cannot leave that master unless the master decides to send him out. If the master frees him, if the master sells him to somebody else, then the ownership changes. But the slave by himself, he can't take himself out of his slavery without the will of the master. He cannot choose to become the slave of somebody else. And that's the reason why if he does that, then he becomes a rebellious slave and he is committing treason. And that's the reason why slavery with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a beautiful concept. Because then we are owning up, we're saying, I submit to Allah. And aslamtu li rabbil alameen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely and totally responsible for me. Allah is responsible for my rizq. Allah is responsible for my happiness. Allah is responsible to forgive me and put me into Jannah. This is Allah's responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this and he accepted this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly that he is responsible and that we don't have to worry about that responsibility as long as we fulfill the responsibility of being a slave. And that's why Allah said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is no moving creature on the earth, but its provision is due from Allah. And He knows where it lives and He knows where it will die. And all of this is in a clear book, which is the, insha'Allah, which is the Allahul Mahfuz. So, the thing to understand, therefore, is that as far as the being a slave of Allah is concerned, this is the biggest source of peace of mind for us, to say that we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's responsibility what He wants to do with us, how we are. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. So primary responsibility, my sense of identity is by being a slave of Allah. My responsibility is to accept this fact that I am a slave of Allah. And Allah's responsibility is to take care of His slaves. Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not deficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not incapable of taking care of His slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always do that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for that slave. And that is where the issue of being pleased with Rida bil Qada, being pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where it comes. Where the slave is not only saying that I am your slave, he's saying I am your slave and I am pleased with that. I am very happy about that. And whatever you decree for me is what is best for me. And that's the understanding of being at peace with yourself, with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that might be. We don't put conditions, just like we don't put conditions on obedience, we don't put conditions on what we will accept and what we will not accept. Being a slave of Allah means we accept whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is best for me, and that is what I am happy with, and that is what I want. The slave has no desire of his own. What does the slave want? The slave wants whatever his master wants. And that is where I remind myself that I need to correct my self and to bring my heart in a position where I not only accept whatever Allah gives me, but I'm pleased with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu gives me. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the value of being His slaves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to fill our hearts with the happiness of being the slaves of Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our lives with the nur and barakah of being His slaves and not the slaves of anyone other than Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.